Father, we thank you today for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for this time we gather again to be in your house. I ask you now, Lord, to just lead us and guide us today in all we do. Lord, I pray your word, Lord, will be exactly what we need in our lives today to strengthen us, to encourage us. Help those, Lord, today that are sick, been in the hospital this week, those at home now recovering. Lord, we lift them up to you and ask God your blessing upon them, Lord, today. Other families here that are hurting for various reasons, mothers sick and all kinds of things going on. But Lord, we know you are in control, you're in charge. And God, I pray you give us the strength that we need, Lord, to face these things we have to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. John chapter 10 this morning. Again, we'll read our verse. Chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." This has been our launching pad, so to speak, for the last few weeks, and we'll continue with that today. Now turn back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 5, where we are today as we finish up this part of the Sermon on the Mount of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we started about verses 13 through 16. Last week we were talking about these verses, two illustrations of Christians, two pictures, if you please, of Christians. Last week we talked about salt, how important it is, and everything. So we see here as we look at this today, last week we talked about how Saul speaks of an inward character that influences a world that is dying in sin. We talked about salt being a caution. In other words, we as Christians, as being salt, we're hopefully cautioning people about their life, their eternity, where they're going to spend eternity at, if we're like we ought to be. So we talked about that. We also talked about what we're to be doing. Our task as a Christian in this world which we live in is to try to keep our lives pure before the Lord, that we might salt the earth, or we might somehow help the earth to see their need and for the corruption to be not done away with, but controlled, so to speak, that the gospel may be able to get to the people that need it to hear today. Corruption is everywhere, we know that. Well, thank God that it's more power in the gospel than is in corruption. God's word, the word of God, can save people, and we're thankful for that today. So we're to be salty. It's not to be easy. But if a Christian, if we fail in this function, we'll fail in Christ, because he tells us in verse 13 of chapter 5, ye are the what? Salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. So it's necessary that we strive to be that, a warning to people, a caution to people, as we function every day and go out and talk to people about the Lord in our lives today. Now, so we see now, today we're looking at verse number 14 of chapter 5. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, you are the what? Light of the world. Now we're the salt of the earth, and now we're the light of the world in which we live in, you see. So we see here, the light speaks of our outward testimony. Our outward testimony of works that points to God. That points to God. And we see this here. Also, we see that the light reveals our works that may accompany our dedication to the Lord, that our lights may shine. Our lights may shine. You see people today that's going faithfully to God's house and doing what they can for the Lord. Those people, their lives speaks to us, does it not? It helps us to see they love the Lord, you know. There's something about them that's different from other people in the world that don't ever go to God's house. So we see our lives do influence how people look at us, and that's the way we can be a light, as Jesus tells us. You are the light of the world, you see. We're to function this way. We're to live this way as we go through life. We talked about how salt deals with the moral. Light deals with, if you please, the spiritual of our life. Our spiritual life, not our moral life. Salt deals with that. We also see that salt relates to our character. Well, light relates to our conduct, how we live our life in this world. Salt also, we see, deals with what a person is. Light deals with what a person does, how we live our life as a Christian, you see, in this world. We know what light does. What does light do? It removes what? Darkness. Light removes darkness. We know what light does, but in essence, we don't know what light is. Light is literally a miracle. A miracle that God himself only knows what is. Jesus said in John 9:5, I am the what? Light of the world. Here we see in Matthew 5:14, Jesus tells us, ye are what? The light of the world. The light of the world. Now, when we bring these two verses together, it means that we are simply to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus. Jesus wants us to be the light of the world, just like he is the light of the world. And we know it's impossible in the flesh, but in the spirit, with God's help, we can do all things through him, you see. The Lord here now, he gives us two illustrations in these next few verses here and to explain how we're to live as light, as light. First of all, we see here verse 14, you're the light of the world. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The first illustration he gives us here is a city. A city, what does that represent? It represents a great outdoors, an impact on the great outdoors. The city, the lights on the hill. If you've ever been traveling much, going through big towns at night, before you get there, a long time before you get there, you see the lights. And it's a beautiful sight when you see lights on a hill or wherever, of a city somewhere. And closer you get, of course, more lights you see, but it's a beautiful thing. So we see, as we are the light of the world, we're to be like a city on a hill. A city on a hill that gives out light, you see. So the city illustrates our impact on the outdoors. Out there. What kind of impact are we having as a Christian, as a light? We also see in verse number 15, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We also see, not only talks about a lamp, a city, but it talks about a lamp. A lamp illustrates our influence on the indoors, on the house. You know, when we have storms and all, we all get our candles and our lanterns and everything ready, prepared, you know, for the lights going out. And when they go out, we're ready for it, you see. And we have that source of light that we need when it's dark and our lights are out at our house, you see. So the lamp indicates our individual testimony. You know, we sing that song we used to in Sunday school. This little what? Light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, you see. Our light should shine every day. See, we see here the lamp illustrates our individual testimony. The city illustrates several testimonies of people all around that know the Lord. See, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. The light of the world, he says. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. So we see a lamp is intended to do what? Shine. A lamp is intended to shine. And we sometimes get too busy sometimes to shine for the Lord, focusing on things that are necessary, yes, but sometimes things that bog us down. And therefore, we're not the light that we should be and could be sometimes. Sometimes we get too lazy to let our light shine, getting up and doing something, you know. And how important this is as we look at this. But neither one, both salt and light, show their influence silently. It's silently. They're not boastful, they just do it silently. Our lights are shined silently. And we see here that this is important, how our light is to shine. We also see today that there's nothing more useful to us today than light and salt. Light and salt. I'm sure you got up at midnight or sometime during the night and stumble yourself way to the bathroom or wherever, but it's always good to have a little light on, ain't it? It keeps you from falling, keeps you from hurting yourself. You know, that little bit of light in that dark room helps you. Well, your light and my light, no matter how little we may think it is still important to a world that needs to know Jesus. And we need to realize this. All Christians are the light in the world. All Christians are lights in the world that we live in. And we must shine as lights. We'll talk about that a little later on today. Jesus Christ calls himself, again, the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ himself is light. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. I'll look at something today. Talking about the light. Light. How important is light? In Genesis chapter 1, we see here the light of the first day in the world. We see in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Can you imagine a world like that? God said the earth was without form, it was void, it was dark upon the face of the deep. There's nothing here but just dark in the beginning. In the beginning. That's what God says here. He says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse 3, the first time God speaks in the Bible, and God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And notice in God's soul, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Of course, and the evening and the morning were the first day. We see here a tremendous miracle by God. As the earth was dark and void, and God said, let there be light. And that light overcome that darkness, you see. The first day of the world was so, but when it shone out, the darkness, it was light, you see. It was light. The world was set in darkness. It was set in darkness. But the morning light lights every day. You know, I'm glad we have morning. I'm glad we have darkness, and I'm glad we have light, aren't you? In the night, hopefully we can rest better. In the day, we have to do what we have to do. But you think about every morning when the sun comes up, the sun brings what? Light. The darkness is over for maybe 8 or 10, 12 hours, and then there's darkness again. But we see the importance of light. So is the gospel that we spread light to. And it's very important that we spread the gospel to a lost and dying world today. See? So Jesus said that we are the light of the world. The light of the world. Just like God spoke light in the beginning. And give us light, give us day and night that we now can enjoy in our lives, you see. So we see Christ raised up his disciples here to shine in light, to shine. They borrowed, if you please, and they literally obtained their light from Jesus, because Jesus is the source of light. That's where we get our light from. Him living within us by his Spirit, you see. Now, look at verse number 15 again. Neither do men... Back in Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, as the light of the world, we see here, we as Christians, we as God's children, you see, we are intended to give light to others. We're not to hide our lights under the bushel, but we're to let our light shine in the world that we live in, that others may see Christ in us, you see. So we see it's very important that our light, we intend ourselves to shine forth light. It should be a goal, it should be a purpose in our life to let our light shine before men. You see, we shall be sent into the world. The light should be sent into the world, and there shall be set up as lights, our life, as lights, no matter who we are. We also see they must shine as lights. Our lives should shine as lights. Someone should be able to look at my life and your life and know there's something different about us. There's something different about us. As we how we see the light from Christ, we must give off that same light, that same gift he's given to us. We're to let our light shine into the world, you see. By living, by instruction, by direction, by comfort and all these, we should give forth our light to a world that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And what do we do as a Christian? No matter what it is, we should do for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Not to be seen, not to be heard, but all for the glory of God, no matter what it is. We must do all. We must also do what we can to help others also to come to know God and to be glorified through him too. May we strive to see the power of God, his grace working in us and through us as lights in the world in which we live today. Our conversation as a Christian today, as we talk to people, may it be a conversation to help sinners come to know Christ. Talk to people about Christ. The most wonderful thing we can do is to talk to them. And may our conversation, may our lights, as we go forth in this world, may those who are against the light and against Christ, may they be brought in love to Christ. To Christ. You know, it's going to be the love of Christ that draws people to him. It's not going to be much what we say unless we say the Word of God. But the Word of God draws people by the Spirit of God to the Lamb of God, that they might come to know Christ as Savior, you see. So the light in your life, the light in my life, is so important in this world in which we live. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. I said this before, I'll say it again. Can you imagine living in a world today with no Christians? No Christians? No churches? My, it's dark enough, isn't it, already? But I can't imagine how dark it would be and how corrupt it would be if God's people weren't here and God's Spirit wasn't here and God's people to work in the world in which we live and try to convict and to draw people to Christ. My, I can't imagine it. I'm thankful that one day when God calls the church up, we're going to be out of here, and then we know, sadly to say, the corruption is going to abound, and we don't know how bad it's going to be. Only God knows that. But I thank God we're not going to be here. I'm thankful we don't have to be here when that time comes. So we see, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. And it's so important that we recognize this today. Jesus said in verse 14, talking about a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and cannot be hid. A Christian ought not to be ashamed of Christ. A Christian should not be ashamed of Christ. If we live for Christ, we're going to be lights. We're going to be lights to other people. Now, we can hide our lights also. How do we hide our lights? How do we hide our lights as Christians? First of all, we can be quiet when we should speak. If God, the Holy Spirit, nudges you or encourages you to speak to somebody, if there's nothing to give them a track, and we don't do it, we're hiding our lights. We're hiding our lights. We should not do this. Sometimes we hide our lights by going along with the crowd. We better be careful today who we go along with, because the world is alluring us all the time, and we must be careful. Sometimes we hide our lights by denying the light. You know, Peter denied the Lord 3 times, did he not? Well, we are subject also, if we're not careful, to deny the fact that we're Christians and hope we ain't that way. Also, we're letting sin dim our light. Sometimes we do hide our lights by letting sin dim our light, by not explaining our lights to others. If someone were to say to you, what's different about you? I noticed there's something different about you. What would you say? What would you say to that individual? A good opportunity, folks, to be a witness if that ever happens to you. It really is. We also see when we ignore the needs of others, we're hiding our lights. By ignoring the needs of others. People need the Lord today, folks, more than ever. People need the Lord. We need the Lord. He's in us, yes, He is, but we need His infilling every day to direct us and help us as we might let our light shine. We're to be a beacon of truth to a dark world. A beacon of truth to a dark world, you see. The term light sometimes is applied to Bible teachers because they teach the Word of God. The Word of God, you see. We see here it is applied to Jesus in those places because of the world that we, the world today, and the Son is in the natural, but Jesus was in the normal world, or the moral world. We know the apostles and the Christians and the ministers, and all Christians are lights in the world because they've been instructed by Him, by Christ. He instructs us, see. He instructs us in things we should do. That's what God requires, to be the light, to be the light. What is the condition of men? That should nudge us and encourage us to be a light because of the condition of men in the world today. And also, what is the, it's our way, it's our duty to have peace in our lives, happiness, and trying to lead somebody else to heaven. My, my, what an opportunity we have, what a responsibility we have today as God's people in this world today. A light is portable. A light may be small, it may be big. Whatever it is, we're to let our light shine. Let our light shine, you say. You say, well, I'm not much. If you may not be much, but if you're saved, you're going, a child of God, you're something to, for God that He can use and He wants to use. You know, no matter how light you, how small you may see. When men light a candle, they do not conceal it, do they? They don't put it in a bushel, they let it shine. They let it shine that it may be of good use to somebody. So is it with our salvation. Our salvation. You're saved today, thank God you're saved. Amen? If you're saved today, it's given that we may help others. We're saved that we might help others get saved. We're not saved just to go to heaven by ourselves. The songwriter put it, don't go to heaven alone, but take somebody with you. You know, that's why we're here. That's why we're left here. God didn't just save us to live like we want to live, but He wants us to tell people about Christ. Salvation also is not to be concealed. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So our salvation should not be concealed. It is to show itself, our salvation, and shed light on a wicked world. That's what salvation does. We share our testimony with people, see. So let your light shine. Look at verse number 16. Jesus said, let your lights so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we're to let our light shine. Let our light shine. We learn here that salvation again is not concealed. Let your life, your conversation, your faithful instruction, everyday life, living, be a light to people that need the Lord. People need the Lord. Salvation, again, cannot be concealed. We see that where it is not manifest in life, chances are it does not exist. If you don't see any salvation in a person's life, most likely they're not saved. They're not saved. Because God's people should let our light shine. He wants us to let our light shine every day. To conceal or to hide our Christian experience today is to betray or to trust simply what God has done for us. And considering our lives useless. If you're saved today, your life is not useless. Your life is beneficial to God if we let our light shine. And we need to be doing that every day, folks. Every day in our life, you see. Why? That good action will be seen and will lead others to honor God. To honor God. That's why we're here, to honor God. Now, no sincere or humble Christian lives in vain. No sincere or humble Christian lives their life in vain. Their life is going to benefit fourfold. It really will. Humble people, sincere people, you see, we see this. Someone said, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Man, our light should be shining in this world, should it not? We live in a dark world. And it should be a light. We should be a light unto them as we go through every day we live. Now, as children of light, what should we be doing? First of all, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter number 9. Children of light, what should we be doing? We know we should be working. We know that. This is first of all. We should be working. John chapter 9, look what Jesus says here in verse number 5. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I'm sorry. Let's go back and see verse 4. Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me. When? While it is what? Day. Why? The night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me, that is his Father, because it's day, because night is coming when no man can work. Verse 5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the what? Light of the world. Is Jesus in the world today? No, he's not. He's not living in the world today. We're the lights today, God's people. We're to be the lights of the world today in which we live. So first of all, the children of light should be working. Working because night is coming. Night is coming. It's going to soon be over with, folks. The Lord is coming any day. I believe that with all my heart. And therefore, we need to be busy today doing something for the Lord. May God help us to realize the importance of being working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what else should the children of light be doing? Turn over to Romans chapter number 13. Romans and chapter number 13. Romans 13 and verse number 12. Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the what? Armor of light. Of light. Christians in the dark, in the light are warring. It's like a warfare. You know what Paul says? I war every day with this body. You know? That I would do, I do not. That I would not do, I do. See, he's wrestling every day to bring his body under subjection, to obey God in what he ought to be doing. So we see we're in a warfare. Paul says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. See, there's work to be doing. There's work that we ought to be doing. There's warring in our lives that we have to deal with every day of our life. Every day of our life. May the Lord give us strength and help to do that. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Christians as light, children of light, children of light. What else should we be doing? Ephesians chapter 5. Paul writing here to the church here. Ephesians 5, verse 8. He says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of what? Light. We're to be walking. We're to be working, we're to be warring, we're to be walking today as children of light in this world. That's what God expects us to be. When he tells us in Matthew, you're the light of the world, you're the light of the world, this is our responsibility, folks, to be light. To be light. We can be light by our working, our warring, and also our walking. Turn over to Philippians, a few pages over. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Philippians 2, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're living in a crooked, are we not, and perverse nation, but we're to be shining as lights, as God's children. See, this is our job. This is what children of light should live like. Should live like. We should witness. Be witnesses. He's talking about here. Telling others about our Savior. The most wonderful thing, most important thing you can tell anyone in this world is how what God has done for you, how he saved you. Because they need to be saved too, folks. People need to be saved today. They need to be saved. So we're talking about children of light. The feeblest light at midnight is still of use. The feeblest light, the weakest light at midnight is still of great use. You know, we're living, we think, at midnight as far as almost time for the Lord to come. Okay? So no matter how feeble our lights may seem to us, they still are of great use in this world, because the world needs to see the light of Christ in us as we go through life. And then we see over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we also see something else, Paul, we see here as far as children of light. We're to be working, warring, walking, witnessing. And then we see in chapter 5, look at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep and as do others, but let us what? Watch. Watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. We're to be watchful as children of light. Are you expecting the Lord to come anytime? I hope we are. Are we watching for him to come? As children of light, we have a big responsibility in this world. We really do. In our working, what we do for the Lord, realizing we're going to go through some war, battling, because of what we, the way we stand, what we stand for, because the world doesn't stand for anything good now, it's all bad. And we're certainly in the minority, but thank God that we're still on the winning side. You know, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Forever. There's victory there. And as we walk in this world, may we be that light that the world needs to see. The world needs to see somebody different. Do they not? Somebody different. The world is in search for peace in their hearts, their minds, and they're trying everything in the world to obtain it. But you know and I know it ain't going to come from the world. It only comes from the peacemaker, that's Jesus Christ. Knowing him personally as our Savior, you see. So the world today needs to hear about Christ. We need to walk right. We need to witness to people. And we need to watch. Watch, folks, because the day is coming. You know, someone said, if somehow we could be lifted down into hell for just a few seconds and come back to this earth, would it make our lives any different here while we're here? That's a good thought, is it not? If we knew that the Lord was coming tonight at midnight, would it alter our plans today? Would it alter our plans today, or would we just continue on like we're living? You know, Let's don't get so settled, so to speak, that we can't be moved, that we can't be redirected in our life into trying to do more than we have been doing for the Lord, because time is running out, folks. Time is running out. Ye are the light of the world, Jesus says. He tells us that. He instructs us. We're the salt and we are the light. And may the Lord help us to realize that our task on this earth is to keep our lives pure, that we might be the salt of the earth, that we may somehow influence others, hold back corruption, that the gospel can go forth. That's the only hope we have, folks, today in the world, to let the gospel keep going. Our works must accompany a dedicated life, or the light in this world which we live in. Our life must be a dedicated life, that others may see Christ in us, that we may live our lives as shining lights, as a light that is shining forth today in this world. May the Lord help us today, be challenged today to live for the Lord, to be a light, to be a light. Sing that chorus you've known for years, day after day. Let this little light shine of mine. I'm going to let that light shine. I want to let my light shine today for the Lord, because the world needs it. The world needs it, and it'll help me also if I let my light shine. God help us, and may God strengthen us every day as we go forth in this world in which we live. Folks, there's still hope. There's still hope for your neighbor, your friend, your cousin, your brother, your sister, or whoever's out there that's lost. There's still hope. But you know, it may not happen unless we help. God uses us. God wants to use you. God wants to use me to be that light. Father, thank you for loving us in spite of us. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, giving us illustrations, God, of how we should be living and have our lives, Lord, somehow should count for you. And Father, we now commit ourselves to you anew, asking you, God, somehow, Lord, to help our light shine in this dark world that we live in, Lord, that others may come to know Christ as Savior. Lord, help us not to hide our lights. Help us to speak out when we have an opportunity, Lord, and give us that boldness we need to do that. Father, bless your people now, remaining of this day, as we hear the sermon, the songs, the music. May all we do today bring honor to you. And Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's lost, I pray today might be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.